over 20-some years on the program before this one, and now this broadcast originating in Tyler, Texas, I have been saying there will emerge a 10-nation union inside Central Europe that is prophesied in the Bible. It will be like a modern space age, nuclear age revival of an ancient Roman Empire. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it a revival of that very same system. There are several remarkable prophecies that foretell those 10 nations. One of them is Daniel, the second chapter, a vision that was seen by a great king of ancient Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, of a huge image in the plain, whose head was of gold, his breast was of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Now, 2 feet have 10 toes. The image, the vision that he saw, that Daniel interpreted for him, you can read the second chapter of the book of Daniel, you will see that the setting of that dream by an ancient Babylonian king is the time in which you live right now today. It was the setting of the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to this earth. That great image was a succession of Gentile kingdoms beginning with ancient King Nebuchadnezzar, going from him to the Persian Empire under Cyrus, to the Greco-Macedonian kingdom under Alexander the Great, to the Roman Empire with its many successive collapses and resurgences down until today, when in the 17th chapter of Revelation, as we covered in the last program, where we saw a city identified having 7 hills, we saw a mysterious great fallen woman called a whore or a prostitute that reigned over a great beast, and that beast had 10 horns. Those 10 horns, said Revelation 17, are 10 kings, which have received no power as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour, a very short time in biblical prophecy, with the beast. Last time I explained the biblical symbolism of that beast is a great supranational despotism, dictatorship. 10 nations all combined together under one supranational dictator. There will be one king over all 10. Then there will be 10 other kings. That's 11 in all, really. Because that one super king called the beast is over 10 other kings. And that one super dictator identified in the Bible as the beast or the beast power is, I believe, going to be a German. I believe he is going to be a German leader who is alive right this minute waiting in the wings. If you knew his name, you would probably recognize it. But he's going to be a German leader. He is alive at this instant. He may not even know exactly what he's going to do yet because the opportunity may not have prevented itself. Every one of those leaders, whether they are a prime minister, a president, a king, a premier, whatever their political title may be in today's political jargon, the Bible calls them kings. Those 10 will be there, extant, united together, but notice the description of the union, the kind of a union it will be in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, when it talked about the 10 toes of the feet, part of iron and part of clay. Now that's an interesting description. There is only one country in all the world you know of that is called the Fatherland. Nearly every nation on the face of the earth calls itself the Mother Country. You talk about the mother country of Poles, of Czechs, of Lithuanians, of Russians, of British, Dutch, and Flemish, and whatnot in the United States, and they talk about the motherland or the mother country. There's only one nation that speaks of der Vaterland, and that is Deutschland, that is Germany. There's only one nation I know of in the entirety of the world that gives medals struck in iron, that talks about the Iron Chancellor, that talks about the Iron Cross, that talks about the Fist of Iron. I remember listening to a great leader of that nation talking about, "We will go in and give them the Iron Fist." This man was Franz Josef Strauss, who said to me personally in his office in Bonn, as he was about to go in to give a speech before the Bundestag, that he rolled up a sleeve over that brawny forearm and he said, "I will go in and give them the Iron Fist." There's only one nation that gives the Iron Cross. Here is this image, the toes of the feet, part of iron and part of clay. So the kingdom will be partly strong and partly weak. And it shows that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom and shall never be destroyed. We live in that moment of great fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We're living in the time just before the development of a nuclear bomb, World War III. It isn't a matter of whether it's going to occur, it's only a matter of when. How? Where will you be? What will you be doing? Did you know that the ancient race of the Assyrians are also identified today from history and ethnology? The leading tribe of the ancient Assyrians was called the Halmani, or the Halmana, H-A-L-M-A-N-N-I. You may not realize in the Latin tongue, the Latin peoples had a name for those Teutons in the central valleys of Europe, along the Rhine River, in what is today the plains country of Schleswig-Holstein or on down into the mountainous part of Bavaria. And they were called the Alemanni or the Almanni. And even today in the Latin language, Spanish for example, in the Spanish language, if you look up in a Spanish geography book for the names of the nations of the world, you will see where Germany is. It will say Alemania, A-L-E-M-A-N-N-I-A, Alemania, or one N, I guess it is. That's right, would be one N. And they're called Los Alemanes. A person today who was a German still bears the name of the leading tribe of the ancient Assyrians, and they were the peoples who took Israel captive in the first place. They're also mentioned in the 10th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I want to turn to that briefly, merely to show you that, believe it or not, the modern-day remnants of those Assyrian people are to be used as a rod in the hand of God. And it says very, very clearly in the 10th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. That indicates that even though it is not right now policy that the existing West German government may not recognize as an actual policy its ultimate intention to conquer the United States of America, it reveals a little bit about the nature of the peoples, that there is a warlike nature, a tendency towards solving international and global real politic problems with the sword or with war. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. Now, it talks about the fact that this prophecy is to take place right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says, beginning in verse 11, Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and to her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, and that is at the beginning of the second coming of Jesus Christ, then he would punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria. Notice in this prophecy in Ezekiel 23, a very lengthy prophecy, that God says that the nations, and I'm just going to speak plainly and to paraphrase it in modern English, of the United States and Britain would be doting upon two countries. They would be looking upon them for support, and they are Germany and Egypt. It says, beginning in verse 7, Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them, whether with the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted, with all their idols she defiled herself, neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt. In verse 9, Wherefore I have delivered her into the hands of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. You ought to read that entire chapter.